Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is almighty, omnipotent. He has multifarious energy, and therefore he is able to remain in his own abode and without endeavor supersede, supervise, and manipulate the entire cosmic manifestation. Through the interaction of the three modes of material nature, Sattva-guna, Raja-guna, and Tamaguna, these interactions create different forms, bodies, activities, and changes, which all occur perfectly, because the Lord is perfect. Everything works as if He were directly supervising and taking part in it. A taste man, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see Narayana to be the supreme cause behind all activities. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:13. Mohitanda vijanati man evya paraman avijan. Deluded by the three modes of the whole world does not know me, who I am about of the modes and inexhaustible. Because an intelligent agnostic are mohita, illusioned by the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand that Narayana, Krishna, is the supreme cause of all activities, as stated in Brahma Sanhita 5.1. Ishvara Paramah Krishna Satchit Ananda Vira Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is a supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Jnana Shalakaja Chakshurumidam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Gaham Karoti Vatalam Vangum Langa Jadehe Kirim Jagripata Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinatavaram. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gopuravani Prajavarine Nirvisesa Sundavari Pashchatya Deshapravarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasavi Gopuravata Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhakta Kapatalvyascha, Kripa Sindhuryayevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Well, continuing with this presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially at this point, the story of Ajamita, and as previous speakers explain us about the importance of the holiday, Basically, the point in this pastime, this story, is that the power is demonstrated, the power of the holy name, even if it's chanted without the intention to be addressed. The person who is your calling, Krishna, Krishna, his name is not different. And Narayan is one of the main names of Krishna. And we understand, we hear many times that Krishna and his name are not different. In our material experience, we do have that differentiation between the objects and the name of the objects. It's quite a different experience for us in our conditioned state. But in the absolute realm, in the spiritual world, that differentiation doesn't exist. The name and the object of the name is the same, it has the same potency. And based on that principle is that we as practitioners of this process of Krishna consciousness, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, with that understanding that if we do it in a proper way, we will be able to interact with the person itself, Krishna himself, because it's not different from his names. So, but to reach that capacity, that level of interaction, we need to qualify ourselves. In a sense, understanding that we are not ready yet, or we are in a conditional state, covered up by the modes of nature and all our contaminations, false understanding about our identity. So we need to clear that those conceptions, those covers that we have, in order then to rise up to the our real, to the real position. So there is a process for that. And here, for example, Prabhupada, in the purpose, is explaining about the Raja Guna, Tama Guna, Sattva Guna, the most of material nature, how Krishna, through his energies, is controlling this material creation. And in the previous chapters, we also study that the manifestation of this material, of this cosmic universe, or material universe, it's not like that Krishna wants to do that because, okay, I want to create this and I'll do it now. But he does it in the sense that, okay, he wants to facilitate us independent or so-called independent living entities wanting to enjoy independently from God. So he wants to give us the opportunity to experience that. And for that reason, he created this universe, the material universe, material cosmic manifestation. Because, again, the opportunity for us that in our independent tendency, trying to enjoy from Krishna, enjoy away from Krishna. But that how it happened that independent tendency to enjoy and separate from Krishna. Because it says that our constitutional position, especially for those who are already in practicing Krishna consciousness and hearing about our philosophy, about spiritual science, we heard many times and we are learning that who we are, what is our real constitution, and that's somewhat like through the association of devotees, studying the Shastras, Prabhupada's teachings, we learn that we are spiritual souls, that is our constitutional position. But because for time immemorial, repeated experience of different forms of life, we got some misunderstanding about, misconception about our identity. And that is one of the root causes of our conditioning. It's called the body conception. Misunderstanding who we are. And it's one of the main causes why we are not able to experience that spiritual experience that Krishna is providing us through the practice of the spiritual process by Krishna consciousness, because we are still being conditioned with those kind of misconceptions, body conception of life, misunderstanding about our identity. And that is manifested through this, the modes of material nature. I was listening to one lecture of Srila Prabhupada on this topic, on this text. I was quite beautifully presented the analogy of the sun. That he said that the sun is present everywhere, but not everybody is able to see the sun. Some cities, for example, can be cloudy. You see that the day is there, the light is there, but you are not able to see the sun because of the clouds, or can be mixed. So why is that variation? Prabhupada never explained this, because the modes of material nature, when we are under the influence of Satvaguna, we will be able to see or the cities which are under the influence of Satvaguna will be able to see the sun directly, the bright sun. But also under the influence of the Rajgun, they see the mixture of sun, cloudy, but not directly bright sun. And on Tamaguna, darkness that will be more covered with cloudy, it's not much sun, you don't see there, it's a little bit depressed. So it's the way how Prabhupada nicely presented the analogy how Krishna is present everywhere, but we are not able to see him because of this kind of coverings, the modes of nature that we are under, how we, for example, are influenced among the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, our perception of God, Krishna being everywhere. It's also constrained that, or facilitated. For that reason, it said that the mode of goodness is the ideal of facilitate the spiritual practice. And in the word Krishna consciousness practice or process, always has been emphasized the opportunity of encourage all of us to situate ourselves at least in the mode of practice, the mode of goodness in our activities, our meditation, trying to develop those qualities that will facilitate our spiritual practice. So this is one point, and also it's clearly explained here, because of these modes of nature, in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna clearly explained how these modes of nature are determining what, for example, the forms, activities, the living entity, its influence, always engaged on. And for that, the Varnashram Dharma as well, how Krishna established the Varnashram Dharma as a means for us to elevate in the process of cultivation or spiritual practice. So, in that way, for example, it is important for us to understand how these techniques or process work. But this technique or this process is not there independently. The process and technique has a principle that determines the process itself. When we say, for example, in Krishna consciousness, in our philosophy, we have Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So we understand that the process is Abhideya, but maybe it's based on the understanding who we are, who is God, what is the relationship that we have with Him. That knowledge is very important. And based on that, we have a process that is Vidya, technique, what we can do to develop that relationship, based on our understanding who we are. and the gold, very important, the gold, Prayojana. And I was listening one lecture, very personally, very enlightening, important lecture from Bhaktivedanta Swami that I consider it would be nice if I can share with you a little bit, and about that class, about that lecture, that would be a bit instructive for this poem. Maharaj explained that basically the idea would be, or ideally, in Krishna consciousness, we repeat Sambandha, Vijaya, Prayojana in that sequence. But actually, it's Sambandha, understanding who we are, knowing what is the goal, Prayojana, and based on the goal, we establish the process, Abhideya. Because if we enter, for example, in our experience in Krishna consciousness, many times we are engaged in the process, we know what we have to do, following this chanting to runs, following the principles, but in many cases we fail, we experience some failures. And because it's said that one of the causes of why we are experiencing failures is we are not always fixing our goals. It's important to have clear what is the goal, what is the ideal, the goal that we want to achieve. So the impetus of that, knowing what is my goal, will give me also the impetus to continue being engaged in activities that will facilitate the achievement of my goals. So it's something that I consider quite important to understand, to analyze, and perhaps reflect a bit among us as a practitioner of this process, the importance of maintaining, of having clear understanding what is our goal. As a Vaishnava, of Gautama Gaudiya Vaishnava, following the footsteps of the Sikho Swamis, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, Sikho Swamis, all the Guru Parampara, all Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, we have a goal that all we all share. May I request you please to share your understanding, what is the goal of our process?
To love God.
To love God, yeah? To love God. How? What else is coming in? Is just to love Krishna? That is the goal? Only?
Perfect contact to God and do service for Radha Krishna, whether it's in the spiritual world or.
Oh, yeah. That's good. It's going back to the spiritual world and serve Krishna, serve Krishna. That's the goal.
Please
Krishna, yeah, that's the goal. Yeah.
To understand our true self.
To understand our true self, yeah.
Many goals,
that looks like. There is one interesting pastime that we many times hear. We heard about it. It's Lord Chaitanya himself established this clear for us. It's in the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rao. And that pastime that it is written from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Maya Lila in chapter 8. It's a nice discussion how it's very clearly stated for at least for us practitioners of this philosophy, this process. When Lord Chaitanya asked through Ramananda Roy a very important question. Lord Chaitanya didn't ask for detail, he was very clear in his question. Do you remember what was the question that Lord Chaitanya asked?
What's the goal of life?
That's right! What is the goal of life? That is what is the satya? What is the goal of life? And Lord Chaitanya was very clear in his question. What is the goal? And then Ramananda Roy, in the beginning, he starts asking or replying and say, well, The goal of life can be to help you fulfill your duties, panache and dharma. And Lord Chaitanya was, no.
Go
ahead. Not yet. He said, no, no, not really. Lord, well, Ramananda Rai said, well, you have to purify yourself. You have to offer your activities to Krishna, to God. Jap karo, si jap asana, si. Lord Chaitanya said, not really. And Lord Ramananda Rai said, well, sarvadharma paritya. So we all know that the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna say that you have to surrender, and that's the goal of life. And Lord Chaitanya said, actually that is external. So then Ramananda Rao said, well, actually the goal of life is to the Krishna prema. And then Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, but tell me more. It's not just that, something else. Well, then Ramananda Rao said, well, the love for Krishna itself, Krishna as a friend. And Lord Chaitanya was a little bit more excited and said, yes, tell me more. But then the idea, he said, well, basically is to love Krishna as the resident of Vrindavan, they do. So that is the goal of our life, at least from our process in Krishna consciousness. I wonder if many of us, we have clear this goal in our life, in our practice, when we practice Krishna consciousness, or when we are chanting our rounds, do we have clear this goal in our mind? It's clear and understanding? Because sometimes, probably you, in your interaction with devotees, and even sometimes in my personal case, so we think, oh, this material world is full of anxiety, mysteries, I don't want to take birth again. I want liberation, I want to go back to Godhead. No more repeat birth from there. I just want to keep freedom, mukti, liberation. So we think that can be like the goal, and because I don't want to suffer anymore, so I'll be chanting Hare Krishna. So let's chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, because we don't want to suffer anymore. Is that the goal? Not really. Because if we don't want to suffer anymore, can other things can be done? Yes, chanting Hare Krishna will do, but that is not the goal. That is not the goal. So the importance of having clear understanding what is the goal in our life. Every day, and the association of devotees is that, because when newcomers come to Krishna consciousness, when we came for first time probably, because of the association of devotees, we came to know about this, what is the goal of life. For example, even Bhakta Sak, he was the first one to say the goal of life, love for God, because you heard from, because in association of devotees by your readings, yes? Yes, it's that we learn when we come because of an association of devotees. That is how it works, Krishna consciousness. Association of devotees give us the guidance, what is the goal of life. And by reading Prabhupada's book, by reading or association with advanced devotees, we came to know more how to develop that love of God in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. That is the goal. And by reading constantly, we will internalize that goal that would be more our real life experience. But it has to be constant. If we don't cultivate orient our activities based on that, at trying to achieve more knowledge about how to love Krishna, remembering our goal, we will lose track of what we really want to achieve, and then we will experience some frustrations perhaps, and we won't be successful in the practice of our spiritual activities. So it's quite important. I was appreciating how Maharaj emphasized that for many devotees, If they don't experience satisfaction and happiness or success in their spiritual practice, it's because we lose track of what is the goal of our life, what is the goal of our process. And I said that, for example, for any experience in life, we need three factors. One is the opportunity to experience, then the capacity or the ability of experience, and the desire. For any experience in this material world, we need these three factors. But in the spiritual practice, in our spiritual process, there are not these three factors are not fully integrated. They are not required, actually. They will require only two. Can you tell me which one of those two factors would be? Among those three, opportunity, ability, and desire, what would be, or which ones would be the important factors to have a spiritual experience?
Desire.
Desire, good, that is very important. And?
Ability.
Pardon me?
Ability.
Ability, yeah, that's right. He said that if we understand that we are spiritual souls, that is our constitutional position, spiritual souls. So by nature, we have that ability to experience or to have spiritual experience, because that is our position, our constitutional nature. So that is the ability to experience or to have spiritual experience is there. And the important factor that Mataji mentioned, the desire. Very strong desire to have a spiritual experience. So perhaps we can question ourselves how we are, how is our desire? Are we really strongly willing or desiring to have a spiritual realization, spiritual experience, or our desire is tinged with other kind of material desires around? So something also that perhaps we need to reflect upon that as well. What is the quality of our desire? Because he said that if we have this strong desire to have a spiritual experience and the ability is there, Krishna naturally will give us the opportunity to have that spiritual experience. Krishna wants that for us. So it's something that is actually there. The only thing that we have to perhaps develop and clarify and work on is the quality of our desire. And so, because he said that, I don't know if you have the experience, but many times when I'm trying to introspect about my spiritual practice, sometimes I realize I face a little bit ashamed, also ashamed thing, but I'm still having some material desires. For example, still hopes in external arrangements, body comfort, or mental satisfaction about some kind of. Because we have many needs or many desires related to the physical body or mental body, or social interactions. There's a lot of desires that limit or constrain the quality of pure desire of spiritual experience. So that I consider that it's an important point that I thought it would be nice if we all try to reflect and analyze, because we are studying Ajamila, the case of Ajamila, who initially he was practicing his duties as Paka Brahmana, performing rituals, doing worship even. He was assisting his father, but he fell down. And as previously also we were mentioning, well, that this can be the possibility for us, no? Because in our experience in Krishna consciousness, we interact with many devotees that sometimes for a period of time practicing Krishna consciousness, and then after we drift away, yeah, so we lose enthusiasm and then not just leave Krishna consciousness as a practicing spiritual activities, but we get entangled in non-favorable activities, sinful activities. And how this can happen, those deviations. So as a practitioner of devotees, we need to be very careful and also aware what is taking place on us, what actually are the facilities and the circumstances that we can take advantage of and go forward in the achievement of our goals. And of course, for that, some important factors like the association of devotees to keep us, reminding us about the purpose of life, teaching or learning from them how to practice, you know, this process, abhidhaya, to achieve our goal. Because he said that in the material world, generally it said that your activities will lead you to the goal. But in Krishna consciousness, according Bhakti Jnana Swami and personal understanding also, is that your goal will direct your activities. So it's very important for us to have clear this point. Based on our goal, then the quality of our activities will be defined. So the future, the goal, will determine your present. It's not like your present will determine your future. In one sense, if we, for example, perform spiritual activities, pious activities, or whatever it is, the future will be the benefit of that. But in this case, as a practitioner of this process, we don't want to get deviated with those pious activities or impious activities, because the goal of Krishna consciousness goes beyond that. So if we have clear understanding of the goal, the future that is Krishna praying in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Please keep clear here. At least for my in my case. Sorry, I'm just sharing with you what I thought was quite revealing. I heard many times that, but many times also I forgot and I didn't reflect deeply on that and losing a lot of time in my spiritual practice and perhaps the quality of my activities, my practice also. So I thought it would be useful to share this point. And yes, if you have any questions, any comments. Yes, Matsushi. Yes, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks.
Very nice lecture. So how to increase our love for Krishna?
Yes, good question. How to increase our love for Krishna? Our Srila Prabhupada created a very beautiful institution. It's a gift. Causes Mercy's gift that he brought for us. He gave us, or he's giving us. He created an association, an institution of devotees. He is giving us Vaishnava Devotees Association. So the way how we can develop or learn, grow in our love for Krishna is because association of devotees. And also for constantly associated with Srila Prabhupada, because he said that to have love for God is not something that you can just get, okay, I know now and I get it. I know the goal of my life is the love for Krishna, love for God in the mood of Vrindavan. With that understanding and perform my activities, it's not just that. He said that we learn or we get that opportunity by the association of those who have that love for us. And for that reason, it's important to associate with advanced devotees. In our case, as a practitioner of ISKCON Krishna consciousness, we have the opportunity to daily, every moment, associate with Srila Prabhupada, who is advanced devotee. Because that association is not constrained to the physical interaction with the devotee. Association means opening our heart to the mood of the devotee, to the opening our heart to the opportunity to associate with the advanced devotee. So by studying the Shastras, Prabhupada's books, it's the way, effective way how we can, everybody has the opportunity to get the benefit of association with the advanced devotee. And not just that, we have the beautiful community of devotees here. There are many devotees, I'm telling you, that they're very advanced devotees that can help us in cultivating, growing our spiritual practice. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu?
It's mere just a lotus feet of the advanced devotees. Just take part.
Yes, yeah, that's right. You say, taking the dust of the devotees. But actually, what that means is just taking the dust, because every morning I can come here and clean the temple with my hands and my hair and put it. It's just that. It says that smearing the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees means to follow their instructions, to follow their examples. So in that means to follow or taking the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, advanced devotees. Yeah. Anything else? Mataji, you have a question?
Mataji, two things. One is, many devotees don't actually have a goal in spiritual life or in their chant. Don't actually have a goal, so what's their faith? And another thing is, we have to cultivate our goal as the mood of Vrindavan devotees. Is it? Did you say?
Both. Yeah,
don't you
can establish
that. So if we actually don't know that, what does that mean? We have to actually know that first? Or?
Well, actually, especially in our branch, for the reason I mentioned in the beginning, our Brahma, Gautama, Vaishnava, Sampradaya, that is our branch. It's our goal is clearly stated by Lord Chaitanya, and we are followers of Lord Chaitanya, Goswami, and our Prabhupada. This is clearly from the very beginning. But that doesn't mean it's the unique, the only way. There are other spiritual processes as well. And they are bona fide. Because love of God, you can also part of the Shastras, there are many relations, modes of relationship. Nirva, Santa Ras, Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya, that was the five principal and other 12 more secondary, you know, seven more, and limited forms to relate God. Love of God is the goal. And can be the goal for different groups also, other sampradayas as well. They are bona fide. But especially in ISKCON, we have this goal. It's very clearly stated. And we have to respect the spiritual experience of other groups as well. That is, we are not anyone who can judge if this is bona fide or not. But the respect for that should be. And Krishna can be, and also we learn that Krishna reciprocates with everybody is unique relationship that everybody has. We share here a common ground in the Krishna consciousness movement based on the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. We feel inspired by that, and not just that, in the mood of the resident of Vrindavan, we have also variety. Not everybody is like the gopis, we have also just one mind, the sakya, the sakas. A lot of variety of the resident of Vrindavan and their relationship with Krishna. So it's something higher. I personally consider it a little bit too premature for myself to talk about it.
Yeah.
But we have that knowledge,
yeah,
as I mean. Yeah, yeah, my brother wants to keep. Is that answer your question, Mataji? Oh, I didn't understand
that. I'm going to thank you. However, more than I asked, but specifically in our society, many duties we don't actually have a goal. So does it mean that you have to have a goal?
Oh, your question is that not many devotees in our Krishna consciousness, in our ISKCON, they know the goal. They don't know the goal. Many of them
have.
They don't have the goal. They know the goal, but they don't have the goal.
Well, if they don't have a goal, does it mean that this should be the goal to develop the mood of Rajavasis?
Well, I mean, as I said many times, when we come in contact with the bodies in ISKCON, we hear from the very beginning, love for God, pure love for God, we hear about the God with the resident of Vrindavan. But it's just here, we can't just have a theoretical understanding, but we don't internalize it. And we lose a lot of time. And yes, we feel motivated in the association of the bodies. Perhaps it's novel and there's new things to learn, to practice, I feel happy. But does it last when we are not focus-oriented? We experience even some difficulties in our spiritual practice, or we drift away from Krishna consciousness because we are not clear in the goal. For that reason, it's important for all of us to analyze, internalize how this is taking place in my personal practice, in my life. What is really the goal of life? And I know it, I heard it, okay, this is. But I really want this? Is my desire? Or I need to develop the desire? So it's something important. For that we have this practice, Abhidhyaya. And by association of the bodies, we learn how to develop that desire, how to practice as well. Because in our conditioning is that we have a mixture of desires.
And thank you. And regarding that point about experience depending on ability, desire and opportunity,
yeah.
Is that opportunity not so relevant in spiritual life, is it?
It's not like an opportunity is not relevant. It's not like the opportunity is in one sense is available because Krishna is the one who gives us the opportunity if we have the desire. Krishna is very much excited, willing to provide all the facilities for all of us, all the opportunity for spiritual experience. It's something that we don't have to be worried much. Why? Because Krishna is facilitating, even for example, like Lord Chaitanya, in Kali Yuga, okay, Lord for God, it's openly given with that kindness, that compassionate mood, it's there. Krishna is providing. The only thing that we have to work hard is in order to take advantage of those opportunities, is to develop this strong desire. Because even the ability to have a spiritual experience, understanding that we are spiritual souls, is there.
Yeah.
Thank you. I heard whether you thought Yudhya, Vaishnava Prat, the word of Vaishnava Prat, offenseless chanting of pure Vrindavan,
yeah,
and dancing and feasting. From the
yes, that's right. Yeah, for that reason, when we have clear the goal, Naturally, our practices would be directed, avideya would be, and as Prabhupada mentioned, that is avideya, that is the process. Avoiding offenses, we focus on the chanting, and every day, what we do after Mangalarti, we recite the 10 offenses, and at the end, Megati. What is the goal of that? Krishna Prayala. But we do repeat, go ahead. Oh, just we just repeat it because sounds fancy. I don't know. We, every day we repeat what we should not do. Every day is part of our process, our avideya, the astebhati sadhana. But sadhana is very much determined by the sankhya, the goal. They call Satya and Sadhana. So as you mentioned nicely, the Sadhana is avoiding offenses, Vaishnava Prana, we have to avoid this. We have to cultivate association with what is taking from Sadhana. Yeah, that is the process. But that would be nicely practiced when we have cleared the goal. Satya and sadhana. Yes,
how can we learn more to see Krishna everywhere and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, how to, that's a good question. How we can learn to see Krishna everywhere?
Everything.
In everything, yeah. Prabhupada, nicely, that was beautiful lecture of Prabhupada in this text about that. He said, because of modes of nature, we need to purify our consciousness. Because, for example, we are not able to interact or have the spiritual experience because of, for example, if we are under the influence of mode of ignorance or passion. So ideally is to cultivate goodness, clear or purify our consciousness that will help us to receive knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And also to see Krishna, it's like the example of the sun. Krishna is everywhere. That means the sun is everywhere. But when we are in the mode of goodness, that means purity in our consciousness, we will be able to see the sun everywhere, the bright sun. But when our consciousness is covered by the mode of ignorance, a lot of contaminations there. So it will be cloudy, so no, you are not able to see the sun. So we need to clear up purity. And we have the process for that. And the ideal process for that is? Chanting Hare Krishna, yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. One thing very important. In our process of Krishna consciousness, process is the process itself of chanting Hare Krishna is the goal as well. It's the sadhana and the sadhya. But as we said before, chanting Hare Krishna can purify the consciousness, but it's just a side effect. The goal of chanting Hare Krishna is Krishna prayer. And for that, yes, we need to purify our consciousness, and we can do it by chanting Hare Krishna. But doesn't remain there. I don't have to purify my consciousness as a goal of life. I need to purify my consciousness to reach my goal.
Yes.
So let's keep in mind that by chanting Hare Krishna, I purify my consciousness, but I go also beyond that to develop Krishna Dharma. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, the goal, the purpose of that is Krishna Dharma in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Yeah. At least for us. Is that okay? Yeah?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes, Madam.
I just wanted to make one point to you.
Please.
That humility.
Humility.
How important it is to
understand that nobody's better and nobody's worse. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with Radharani. And we are all equal in the sense that we're all spirit souls. So when we truly understand that, then our heart chakra will open up and love will develop naturally. So by chanting Hare Krishna, we learn to become humble and realize that we're just all spirit souls, all equal in our endeavors to become God conscious.
You are right, Mataji.
Very important.
Yeah, that's right.
Not a false humility, you know, but a deep inner understanding that, you know, we're all sinful. That's why we're here in this material world. Yeah. And nobody's better and nobody's worse. And as you make advancement, you realize this. It opens up your heart chakra and then you become so joyful and happy to associate with devotees, to laugh and cry with them, and to love them and see them for who they truly are.
Yeah, you're right. And even something that also from the very beginning in our process, we hear the requirement for chanting Hare Krishna. It is very important. The third chapter, third text of the Sikshasaka Lodge, himself was a Samadhi Nada, means Nichana, the Lord is a Nichana, Amarina, Amarina, Kirtaniyasa. So, for chanting, in order to chant Hare Krishna constantly, we need to develop that humility, the mood of humility, and be more tolerant than the tree. Not expect respect from others, and be able to offer respect to others. So it is quite important that those conditions for in order to chant Hare Krishna. But also that reminds me what you said, very important. Well, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur described humility. You said humility not as an external thing. And sometimes can be external or superficial. Well, many of us will have to learn in that way in the beginning. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur defined humility as the ability to acknowledge, recognize what is our real position. And you mentioned that yes, we are all sinners. By acknowledging and remembering all the simple things that we do, naturally will come that humility. Because I do recognize that I'm a simple person. I don't dare to point out others because I did it right here. I'm a simple thing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur nicely presented that in that way. By acknowledging our own conditioning, humility will come naturally. But for that, we have to have that need to acknowledge, to be more introspective. And yeah, previously also talking with another devotee, a senior devotee, the importance of being humble and grateful. So it's those important factors, important qualities that as a spiritual practitioner we should develop and endeavor to develop. It's humility and gratitude. Mm-hmm. They are good together. Thank you for your comment, Mataji. Chris, anything else? Thank you for your time. Thank you.